City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Right, let's have a little look at what's happening at both Everton and Liverpool, particularly on the transfer front, and talk with the Liverpool Echo sports editor, David Prentice. Morning, Preno.
Morning, Steve. You all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Let's start off with Everton and Ronald Koeman, very much linked with a move for his old mate, Juan Mata, a £20 million move. How confident are you that this is a deal that might happen?
As confident as you can be at this very, very early stage. I mean, we've had absolutely no official confirmation from anybody at the club that this is something that they're trying to do, and, you know, sort of be confident of pulling off. But, you know, you look at all the circumstantial evidence, should we say, and, you know, clearly he's not going to be, you know, welcomed with open arms at Manchester United. Mourinho sold him once before. I think he'd be looking to move him on again. Everton, you know, clearly fancy him, Ronald Koeman, you know, so clearly an admirer of his. So, yeah, you'd like to think that, you know, he's going to want to play first-team football. It's only down the road for him, you know, so quite an exciting, what's the phrase we're hearing, project going on at Everton. So, yeah, hopefully we'll find out more during the course of the day. But I'd be, you know, so quietly optimistic at the moment.
Is he the sort of player that Everton need? I mean, obviously Koeman knows him well, and he might know how to get the best out of him.
Yeah.
You seem to hear a lot of sort of negative things about Mata. You know, I don't know whether that's the Mourinho connection. And when he was at Chelsea, I heard this phrase often: "Oh, he's a little bit lazy. He doesn't do what Mourinho wants out of a full team."
Yeah.
Is he the sort of player that would help Everton?
His quality, his class, yeah, of course he'll help. I mean, Everton needs to reinforce in a number of positions. I mean, it's going to be quite a major rebuilding project this summer. If you look at the players that have already gone, you know, your likes of Osman, Hibbert, Pienaar, okay, didn't play a great deal, you know, last season, but, you know, they added, you know, depth to the squad. That's going to need replacing. And then obviously once the Lukaku stroke Stone situations are resolved, you know, maybe one or two of those may need replacing. Obviously a new goalkeeper is required as well. I know they've bought in Kellenberg already, but I think Everton are quite keen to make it clear that they are also looking, you know, so for more depth in that position too. So a lot of changes. So if you're going to replace those kind of players with proven quality like Mata, yeah, everybody would be happy. I mean, okay, you know, so fingers have been pointed at attitude in the past, but, you know, Ronald Koeman knows the guy well. So, yeah, you know, hopefully he can get the best out of him, should it happen.
Yeah, I like him as a player. I think as well he's one that would get the fans very excited. I think this new co-owner, whatever you want to call him, Moshiri, I think he's someone who's going to get the fans excited. Already Evertonians are dreaming about big money buys, you know, big improvements on and off the pitch.
Definitely. Everything I hear about him, you know, smacks of ambition. I mean, when they were searching for a new manager, there were lots of names being bandied about, including some names that weren't wildly exciting to Evertonians. And we were hearing messages all the time that no, absolutely not. You know, so Moshiri is keen that he wants an absolute, you know, glamour appointment, a Hollywood appointment, if you like. And he certainly got that in Ronald Koeman. And I think the same will go for signings as well. I think just the messages that were coming out last week about Kellenberg when he signed, everyone at Everton was keen to get the message out. Hang on a second, you know, okay, this is a guy that, you know, Ronald Koeman likes and he wants in the squad, you know, because of his experience and because of his depth. But don't think that this is like, you know, suddenly the exciting signing, you know, everybody's waiting for. There are going to be others. So there was a fellow who was available. He's got him, and I think they're looking elsewhere straight away.
I hear nothing but incredible things about Ronald Koeman as well. I mentioned on Friday on the show, I was with Graham Stewart on Friday night, who'd had a night out with him with Snods. I don't know how that ended up.
Natalie, no doubt.
Yeah, taxi was involved. And then on Saturday, I was working with Aldo and with Jan Molby, and both of them, because obviously Aldo had a connection. Jan worked with him for a year at Ajax as well.
Yeah.
And Jan, who's, you know, a brilliant analyst on it all, he said, I'm absolutely convinced this man will do wonders with this football club. You don't realise how good he is, his football brain.
Well, yeah, if Jan says that, that'll do for me, because like you say, he is absolutely so switched on, you know, so a great football analyst. And I've not spoken to Jan for the last few weeks, but I have heard that, you know, he is a huge admirer and he does rate him enormously. So yeah, if he's saying nice things about him, I'm, you know, even more excited about the project than I was previously.
Go along with it. Right, stuff this morning, and again, a colleague of different paper, but Paul Joyce writing this morning that Romelu Lukaku will be told he's not for sale. They'll put a £75 million price tag on his head. I think some might have expected this. I don't think it was necessarily always 100% that he was going to move away.
No, absolutely. It's happened previously. I mean, this time last year, if you remember, John Stones was putting in transfer requests because You know, there was interest from elsewhere, and Everton again dug their heels in and remained firm. They will do the same again. I mean, there was a very, very brief quote from Lukaku after Belgium were knocked out at the weekend, and about his future, and he just said that I need to go back and talk to my club, and that's been, you know, translated in lots and lots of different ways. But I think, you know, the suggestion is he clearly does want to move, and he is going to, you know, sit down and talk to Ronald Koeman and express those thoughts and those sentiments. But equally, I think Ronald Koeman will try and persuade him to, you know, to sit tight. Let's just, you know, see how things go under me, you know, sort of for a season. I think he can be quite a persuasive individual. So it'll be interesting to see. And also, you know, it depends on what kind of interest comes in for him elsewhere. Because if Everton are true to their word and do put, you know, this very, very prohibitive transfer fee on his head, I mean, £75 million, not many clubs are going to be able to afford that. So, you know, it's only going to be an absolutely elite handful that will want him. And let's be fair, given his performances at Euro 26, which of the elite would want him at the moment? I like Lukaku a lot. I think he's a very, very, very good centre-forward, but he didn't look anything like his best at the European Championships, and he won't have attracted too many more potential suitors with his performances there. I'd be delighted if Everton keep hold of him.
Yeah, I think you've absolutely nailed it. If he'd had a blister in Euros, you just wonder what the situation would have been now, what we'd be talking about at this stage.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, he'd be queuing up, he'd be getting, you know, offers and, you know, transfer requests, you know, left, right and centre. As it is, I think there's a lot more talking to be done. And, you know, it's Ronald Koeman's first day today. I mean, he's actually taken training for the first time this morning. So, obviously, Lukaku won't be there because he's... You know, he's, I think they give him 3 weeks longer, aren't they, after the European Championship finished to go on holiday. So I think it might rumble on for quite a while longer, this one, before we see any kind of resolution.
And what about the John Stones situation? Does that one need resolving quite quickly?
Yeah, it does. I mean, obviously he was at the European Championships but didn't play. So, you know, whether he will come back any sooner, I don't know. But we're hearing different messages from him. We're hearing that he's, you know, well, obviously he hasn't spoken to Manchester City because that would be illegal, of course. But there's,
and that wouldn't happen, would it, in the game?
Exactly, but there's suggestions that, you know, so Manchester City have made their interest in him quite clear, and the lad himself is quite attracted to that. I mean, let's face it, which, you know, aspiring footballing central defender wouldn't want to play with Pep Guardiola, and, you know, so see if that can, you know, so develop his game. But equally, Ronald Koeman wasn't too shabby a centre half, was he? I think he could probably, you know, sort of show him a thing or two. So again, you know, so more talks required, but I'm maybe not quite so optimistic about that one.
No, I think there might be some change there. It was nice to see, and you mentioned Pep Guardiola. It's nice to see a guy who's an absolute diamond in Mikel Arteta, one of the nicest footballers you'll ever meet, coming back up to the Northwest, still very much attached to English football. He put a statement out yesterday where he thanked everyone at Arsenal, but he was also keen to thank people for his time at Everton and his different football clubs. And he's staying here in the Premier League. He's coming to be on the coaching staff with Pep Guardiola. What a brilliant player he has been in his time.
Oh, absolutely outstanding, yeah. And it was a very, very sad day when he left Everton to go down to Arsenal. But, you know, before that, he produced many, 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 you know, sort of top-class seasons. I believe he goes back a long way with Guardiola, back to the days at the Masia Academy in Barcelona. And they were always likely to work together again sometime, you know, in the future. And obviously, you know, given his North West links, you know, so I think he'd be quite happy to come back up here again. So, yeah, it's good to see him, you know, so, you know, still in football, you know, still in coaching and still imparting all that great experience and all that great talent that, you know, he has to other footballers.
I think this Premier League season bodes, it does bode well, doesn't it, just in terms of the exciting storylines that'll go with it.
It's going to be great just in this neck of the woods alone, you know, the North West, you know, so you've got Klopp and Koeman here, you've got Guardiola and Mourinho, you know, just down the road, you've got Conte, you know, so coming in at Chelsea, Ibrahimovic at United, and we're only talking July the 4th as well. You know, there's going to be a lot more, you know, taking place between now and the start of the season and, you know, August the 13th. So, yeah, it's, you know, everyone's getting quite excited already.
You know, I was talking about the thing I did with Jan on Saturday, and a member of the audience, it was like a Q&A with an audience, a member of the audience said, what was it like playing in Derby, Jan? And Jan said, the very best time I had as a footballer, he said, the absolute best was when Liverpool and Everton were both really at their sort of peak, you know, and the battles weren't obvious in terms of, you know, it wasn't necessarily going to be a Liverpool win or an Everton win. He said, I want to see those times return where Liverpool and Everton are competing at the very highest end, he said, because it's the very best thing for this city if that can happen.
There's absolutely no shadow of a doubt that each club drove each other on at that period, certainly in the mid-1980s. because, you know, one team was, you know, successful, the other team felt that it had to really, you know, sort of go above and beyond to try and match that success. And then when Everton, you know, did that, Liverpool thought that they had to come back and go again. And I remember those days so, so well. I mean, from, you know, 1984 through to, you know, sort of 1987-88, it was just outstanding. It wasn't just the FA Cup and the league, it was the FA Youth Cups they were both winning, it was, you know, European trophies. It was wonderful, but they did, they inspired each other. I mean, it was mentioned again, you know, I think it was by Kenny, when Howard Kendall, God rest his soul, passed away. Kenny said, you know, he was really, really upset by that, because, you know, he looked back to those days and talked about, you know, so how each individual had, you know, sort of driven each other on and inspired each other. So, yeah, I think we, you know, maybe we won't be heading, you know, sort of back quite to, you know, those levels, you know, straight away. But, you know, two top-class managers in place there, so hopefully sooner rather than later.
Might just happen in the future. On the Liverpool front, of course, they brought Marnie in. Do you like him as a signing?
I do, yeah. I mean, like most Liverpool fans, I would think, hang on, you know, so 34 million quid, that's an awful lot of money for a band that effectively had a good second half of last season. But, you know, yeah, Klopp knows him a lot better than I do. You know, so he'd have identified parts of his game that he thinks he can improve on. He clearly likes him as an individual. And, yeah, he's a very attractive signing. I hope it's not the end of their Liverpool's, you know, spending. I hope that's not the marquee signing that they've ever been looking for. You know, because I think there's still a little bit needs to be done with the squad. But, you know, he's certainly a top-class player, and he'll certainly augment what's already there.
They've almost got too many attacking players at the moment. I don't know whether you've been through the list, but again, they're looking at Peter Zielinski as another attacking midfielder. Yeah. But once you've factored into, I don't know, Danny Ings, Coutinho, Lallana, Ibe, Ojo, the list goes on. He's probably got to do some weeding out here. There might be a few that are moving on.
Well, definitely, because, you know, last season you might have got away with it with, you know, so European football involved. This season that isn't the case, you know, so there's going to be so much fewer games for players to be involved in, and players are going to get frustrated. Something's going to have to give, because you presume he's going to play the same kind of setup, the same kind of, you know, formation that you played last season. So those three, you know, sort of behind the central striker, you can only, you know, play three players in there, and there's at least, now that Mane is, you know, sort of being added to the mix, there's at least four or five what you would call first-choice footballers. Mm. That's before you even bring in, like you mentioned, the likes of Ibe and Ojo. So, yeah, there's something's going to have to give. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Maybe a player or two going out on loan, perhaps. I don't know, because, you know, certainly those players I've just mentioned, Liverpool have high hopes for. So, lots of talking to be done.
And I think this season we're going to see the real Jurgen Klopp side, aren't we? Let's face it, he was toying around or playing around with other people's equipment last season. Now we're going to see what he's all about.
You are. You're going to see, fingers crossed, like a much fitter side. I mean, he places so much store on our pre-season training. I mean, they were doing a double session yesterday, you know, so 24 hours after he came back. So, you know, obviously he places so much store on this, you know, high-pressing game, this, you know, winning back possession as quickly as possible, being very, very aggressive in their defensive play. And training and fitness has such a huge amount to play with that. So, yeah, I think, you know, this next 3 or 4 weeks are going to be very, very important. And it's also interesting to note the number of matches Liverpool are playing pre-season. I think it's 9 games already, including 4 in this country before they even go on tour. So, you know, he is really going to hit the ground running with them. And they're going to know they've been through a pre-season, you know, session. But equally, they're going to start the season in pretty good shape.
They're not going to have it easy, are they? No. Neither are the Liverpool Echo writing staff, who who literally better be getting their pre-season ready.
They love that. No, believe me, we'd much rather be... It's like the old footballing thing. You'd rather be playing games rather than training. The lads here would rather be going and covering football matches than sat in the office. So, yeah, the more fixtures we've got there, you know, so the happier the lads are.
Preno, delight as always. Thank you very much.
All right, cheers, mate. Cheers.
David Prentice, sports editor at the Liverpool Echo.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.